The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night for Scotland. Stevie Clark's side got up and running against Cyprus on Saturday but face an entirely different challenge in the form of Spain. The manager praised the impact of the likes of Scott McTominay and Ryan Christie off the bench at the weekend, so who will get the nod tonight? And Norway are one up on Georgia as it stands in a game that could have a big impact on the table. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
It's got the feeling of a big night for us, Gordon. Few occasions these big hitters come to town, and we always look forward to it. We've put ourselves in a good position with a good win at the weekend. Can we carry that on again? A Spanish side who probably aren't as renowned as they once were, but still will be very good. A big test ahead for our lads, but we're right behind them.
Yeah, looking forward to this. I'm going to start on a very confident note tonight. I think we'll get something. I really do. If we can get the right team, the right formation. You look at Spain, yes, they'll come in as favourites because they've got world-class players. Of course they have. They've got off to a great start, 3-0 against Norway. But you look at teams like France, for instance, going to Republic Iron last night, struggled to get that 1-0 victory. I think we're playing with a lot of confidence. Full house behind us. Don't know about the pitch. Don't know if it'll suit Spain or Scotland. I'm going positive tonight.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. What are you thinking? Are you feeling as positive as Gordon DL, or is there a bit more concern in there? Quite often for us, it's not the Scottish way. I feel like there's a bit too much positivity at times. You often fear the worst when that starts to happen. But what are you thinking then ahead of tonight? Can Scotland get something? What's going to be key to it? How do you see the game panning out? And for about the next half hour or so, it's your last chance to suggest your team. So what should it look like? I don't think we'll see any change in goal or anything like that. We know Shea Adams dropped out the squad. So what about those that came on at the weekend? Has McTominay forced his way in? If so, who drops out? Would you change anything else? Has Ryan Christie forced his way in? If so, who drops out? You have to assume Lyndon Dykes leads the line, unless you've got some other master plan up your sleeve. Would you like to see any other changes in there? Pick your team, give us your predictions, all of the usual pre-match chat right here, 0141 951 1025. And as always, I think bonus points available if you're heading out to Hampden, because we are so jealous. We are stuck in here, and I always like to try and be part of your build up to the big games. You've maybe got us on in the car or whatever, in the bus or in the train or whatever it is, so it's nice to feel part of it. Indulge us, pick up the phone and let us know what you're thinking if you're on your way to the game. 0141 951 1025. Might even be some youngsters going along, Mark, hoping to witness that famous Scotland victory. But you know, it's that type of incentive there. It's one of these results that if it does go to plan tonight, you'll be rhyming it off like Paris 2007 or Gary Caldwell against France when they came, or the Netherlands at Hampden.
Yeah, well, it's what happens when the big hitters come to town, and we're underdogs, of course, tonight, because the Spanish historically have always been a top side. We remember the sides that won the World Cup and the Euros, and they've never changed their style. They may have changed personnel since then, and they may not be as strong as those sides, but they never changed their style, which always makes them an attractive opposition. I'm sure the young fans going along cheering on Scotland tonight and hoping we win will enjoy watching the Spanish side, and they can learn from that. But ultimately, we hope that our boys can match them in every department and get one. But it's going to be incredibly difficult. Team selection is going to be hugely important, and formation. Now, Jim Duffy was saying at the weekend he thought Steve Clark might change. I think you might have said, Daz, it might have changed as well. I'm not too sure, so that'll be interesting when the team lineup comes out.
Yes, so 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking about Scotland against Spain tonight? Are you confident? Are you fearing the worst? Are you somewhere in the middle? who should play, what does your team look like, and anything else you think we've missed. 01419511025. Give us a call right now, especially if you're on your way to Hampden. Let's go there and check in with our reporter Andrew McLean, who's going to set the scene.
Yeah, all quiet at Hampden at the moment, but I'm looking forward to 50,000 packing this place out tonight, because it does always feel special when there are one of the bigger nations visiting here. You'd expect the atmosphere to be up a few notches from Saturday, the tempo on the pitch as well, and hopefully it's a really good contest. Spain, of course, is one of the massive names in international football. Not quite the force they were a few years ago, but you just need to look at the quality in their side. Players from Barcelona, Real Madrid, Manchester City. It's still a massive test for Scotland against the top seeds in the group. And, you know, you mentioned those two wins against France back in the Euro 2008 qualifiers. That's probably the last time that Scotland have beaten a European powerhouse. So it would be nice to get another one of them again, wouldn't it? There was also plenty of debate on the show last night about team selection. Will it be the same formation? Who starts in midfield? Is it as simple as Lyndon Dykes leading the line? I will get you the team news in about half an hour, but I would expect plenty of debate before that. Also, just looking at the Scotland team at the moment, they're out on the pitch having a look at it. There has, of course, been quite a bit of heavy rain today. There was a lot of chat about the pitch on Saturday. I think aesthetically it looks better than it did at the end of the game on Saturday, but I would expect that it probably will cut up quite early on in the game. The players just assessing that at the moment, but as I say, I will give you the team news from Hampden as soon as I get it.
01419511025, that is the number you need, so come on, let's hear from you. Are you heading along to Hampden tonight? Would particularly love to get your thoughts on what you're expecting from the big match, or you're settling down to watch it. How are you feeling? Gordon Dale's very confident, which sort of worries me, I must admit. So how are you feeling? Are you as confident? Would you tone it down a little bit, or maybe you'll even go one step further, which will definitely worry us. And what about the team? As Andrew McLean quite rightly says, there are a few issues there. Has Scott McTominay forced his way in? Has Ryan Christie? That's fine. Who are they going to replace? Is it Lyndon Dykes leading the line? Any changes in the back line? All of these big game questions that we always ask on the big night of a game. 01419511025. So come on, don't leave me stuck with Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. That's what I ask of you. Give us a call and get anything you need to off your chest. I mean, Andrew's quite right, Mark. You're going back to that sort of France game 2007, that sort of era. Is that the size of it? I mean, you do think back, to be fair, that victory against Denmark, in terms of, like, you know, sort of rankings at the time and what they had just done at the previous Euros and so on, that was outstanding. With no disrespect to Denmark, there's just something about the name, you know, there's that sort of reputation. Even as good as they were, they wouldn't go down as a proper powerhouse, yeah, or a superpower. Would Spain do, even if, you know, they're not the Spain that they used to be?
I think when in modern history, recent modern history, that, you know, when they win the World Cup and they win the Euros and it's fresh in our mind, I know it's a different squad, but you still get the feeling that it's something special, something big. And France, going back to France, where Gary Caldwell scores at home, James McFadden scores away, they had that aura about them as well at that time, and that's why that stood out as the result probably in my lifetime as being a Scotland fan. So today, I think that would be up there. And to follow up what was a pretty dull performance, let's be honest, on Saturday until the last probably 15 minutes, to follow that up with a decent result against Spain, and Steve Clarke is off to an absolute terrific start. Home games are always important in qualification campaigns, and we know it's going to be difficult, but if we don't lose tonight, I think that's a real positive for us.
I know what Mark's saying. I look at Saturday's game, wasn't the greatest, but the lot of positives was 3-0, clean sheet, and you can go on and on and on. I think we're a better side when we're underdogs. You know, we're playing against a top-class side tonight. I think everybody expected us to beat Cyprus. At times we made heavy work of it. We never looked in trouble, let's be honest about it. I never thought for one minute the Cyprus were going to get a goal. Tonight is completely different because you've got to be concentrating, you've got to be on the ball for 90-plus minutes because they've got the quality that if you just lack that bit of concentration, they'll open you up. I think we're better at home when we are underdogs, and that's why I think I'm positive tonight for a result.
You hear these sort of stock phrases or cliches or whatever you want to call them, Mark, getting bandied about, you know, sort of free hits and pressures off, and you kind of get that, but at the same time, is it also, are we now at the stage where you have to stop looking at it that way. There's no real pride to be taken from just coming close. And I don't want to sound all cynical, go all Hugh Keevans on you, but ultimately look at the other nations who give these big teams a bloody nose. Yeah. You need to do it. If you want to get to where you want to be in a qualification group, you're probably going to need to do it. Because as we've seen, just sort of sitting back and making sure you beat all the other teams doesn't necessarily work out very well for you.
You're right. You've got to have a standout result. We've got to beat one of these teams sometime. And I think the blueprint, and when you look at it right in our doorstep, is Wales. Wales, over the years,
Went and drew with Croatia the other night, of course,
got the 92nd minute equaliser. So they have punched well above their weight. And we look at our team, our squad of players that we've amassed, and we think, well, I would fancy us against that Wales side. So we've got to stand up and be counted when it matters. And tonight is one that really matters. These nights can be special, but again, it'll come down to team selection. We've certainly got the individuals, but we all need to be in top of our game to beat that Spanish side.
Let's bring in Joshua from Bears Den. What are you thinking about tonight, Joshua? Oh, I can't actually hold on. We've got a little technical hitch, but it'll be solved in about 10 seconds when producer Chris works his magic. And I'll bring Joshua in.
Oh, no. Give him the big build-up. That could be a problem.
Gave Joshua the big build-up.
We know Chris for his technical man.
It's all good. It's all done. Told you he was quick. Joshua, how are you feeling about tonight?
Well, I'm good to be confident for my team, but Spain are a very good team.
Who's going to be the main man for Scotland?
It could be either Scott McTominay or John McGinn.
Well, listen, the McGinn name sort of rolls off the tongue in answer to that question mark. Yet again, at the weekend, stepping up, he's climbing that all-time Scotland leading goal scorers chart. He's past James McFadden, he's closing in on Kenny Miller and Ali McCoist. He is an absolute talisman for Scotland, isn't he?
Yeah, and those names you're rhyming off here, John McGinn, a midfielder as well, into the bargain. So it shows how well he's done in the Scotland shirt, how much pride he takes playing for his country, and how much he turns up in the big stage. And I keep going back to it, tonight is one of the bigger stages and we're going to need him. I'll be interested to see where he plays, because obviously at the weekend he played very, very close to Adams and Armstrong as well. I wonder if he'll be a wee bit deeper.
Why would you though? Does he not simply have to be there now?
I know, and I'm just thinking of personnel. If Steve Clark goes for, say, Ryan Christie to play off Dykes, which has been successful in the past, maybe McGinn would just drop into a wee bit deeper. Because remember, it's a different game when we've got the majority of the ball at the weekend. We are going to need a solid, if he plays a five, we are going to need a solid five.
Yeah. And that is true, Gordon. But again, at the same time, is there not a school of thought that if we've got any chance of hurting Spain, chances are McGinn needs to be as close to that Spanish goal as possible, because Lyndon Dykes is not necessarily prolific in club form at the moment. Does a good job, but surely we need to try and bolster that attacking option.
I take on board what Mark's saying. I've actually got my team playing off Dykes, because I think pulling them back into a midfield three, which I think we'll go with tonight, Gordon, takes away from that threat. I know he can still make the runs, but I like giving him that free roll off the centre forward like he did at the weekend, to get in the box, time his runs and get on the end of things. Steve Clark said in his press conference about, you know, we worked on attacking against Cyprus, we're working on defending tonight in shape, obviously. So I think one of the attacking players, like Armstrong, will not start tonight. I think he'll go for a more defensive unit in the three. And if he's going to do that, I would like to see McGinn not in that three. I like him off Dykes.
Joshua, explain the thinking behind Scott McTominay. I mean, it might be fairly obvious after the weekend, but what you think, he's definitely forced his way in?
Well, his two goals were absolutely stunning, and I love the way he controls the ball. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, Gordon, is it any football match you throw subs on, maybe throws harsh? It makes it sound like it was a complete guessing game, but you put subs on, they make the impact he did. It's not ludicrous to suggest he has then earned a place the following game. Is it as simple as that for you?
No, well, sometimes the subs come on and they do so well, but they're not automatically picked. But I've got to say, I'll be very surprised. I've got McTominay as a stick on tonight in the middle of the park. I think he's a big game player for us. I think he's got so much in his locker. He scored two goals at weekend. His confidence must be sky high. He's got the ability to put his foot in the ball. He's a danger at threats with his height as well, Gordon. So I think tonight, in a game as important as this against a top quality side, McTominay is a stick on.
Have to agree with that. Yep, written down my team here. McTominay is in the midfield area. I just think, you know, Joshua makes good points. See the way he can dictate play, how comfortable he is on the ball, the experience he's gained at playing at a top club and top competition. Then I think we're going to need to draw on that tonight. We're going to have to be comfortable in possession in the middle of the pitch. Now, we've certainly got that with McGregor. And I think McTominay will certainly add to that. Whether he plays Jack is the one for me. If Jack sticks with McGregor and it's McTominay in there alongside him, or if he drops out and the team I've got written down is Christie in there playing off so, Dykes with McGinn.
So Ryan Jack doesn't keep his place?
That's what I've got, but I'm guessing you're different with the look in your face.
I've got roughly the same, but I've got a question, Matt. I don't know how good he is. Or where he'll play tonight, because I'm thinking if you're going to try and win that middle part, I don't know if he'll go Jack, McGregor, McTominay, McGinn off Dykes, right? And I think he'll stick with the 3-5, the three at the back and the two wing backs. I know Mark's went for Patterson. That's another one that we're debating, or Hickey. I don't think Hickey was that bad. I think he'll stick with Hickey, but it's just the middle part.
Where's your energy coming from if neither Christie nor Armstrong play?
I think it comes from obviously McGinn. I think it comes from your two wing backs getting up. I think McTominay showed at the weekend he's capable of getting into the box from deeper areas. I just don't. Christie would be. I like Christie. I think he made, especially at the weekend, I thought he'd come on, he livened it up, he get involved in everything, he works hard. But I think if you go with McGinn at in the three, I think that takes away your strength. I would rather see McGinn up there. He might even go with a McGinn and Christie off Dykes and go for it. But the way he's talking, I don't think he will. I think that's why it's such an interesting team lineup tonight. I'm desperate to hear how Steve Clark's going to go with this.
Well, I get what you're saying about McGinn. You know, you're taking away. I would agree with that. You're taking away, but I'm with Gordon when he asks you where the energy is coming from. I think the way Christie and Dykes have played in the past, I think you saw a glimpse of that at the weekend. It seemed to go up a notch.
There was
when
an
they
accusation
came on
that it was all about one pace at the weekend until
the
changes.
They came on, yeah.
I don't know if that's fair, if that's something you agree with, but certainly a lot of people said
well,
that.
I said at the time we needed someone to go and commit someone and take the game with a scruff and a neck and go by some. Now, I'm not saying Christie come on and jink by three or four players, but he certainly added something. You look at the way he pressed the ball and got it back in the corner and crossed it to Dykes. There seems to be a relationship there. And I just think, well, you can't drop John McGinn, obviously. So for me, defensively, he would drop deeper. Now, that's not to say when we're in possession, he doesn't do what Daz says. He goes up and plays behind Dykes alongside Christie. I think that would be more likely. But defensively, I think we're going to have a solid five
I think 90% of Scotland fans going along to Hampden tonight listening to this show probably went with the McGinn, McGregor, McTominay with Christie off Dykes. I can totally understand that. But me personally, I think that listening to Steve Clark talking about we need to work on the defensive part of their game now, because the attacking part was against Cyprus. They were favourite. They had the majority of the ball. They might not get that luxury tonight. I don't know if he'll go with a more solid in there. Now, you're talking about energy. I think you've got great energy from the left-hand side with Tierney and Robertson breaking forward when they want. Your right wing-back, whether it be Hickey or Patterson, can break forward. McTominay, I think, has got terrific energy for the middle of the park. You've got McGinn, who is absolutely brilliant, and then you've got the hustle and bustle of Dykes up front. I think that's a balance.
Thank you, Joshua. Enjoy the game. 01419511025. What are you thinking then? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard? This is the time to tell us. Good time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897. Built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025, as always. So let's hear from you, please. What are you thinking about Scotland-Spain tonight? Can Scotland get a famous result? How confident are you? Are you fearing the worst, or are you somewhere in the middle? And who should play? Get on here and pick your team and let us know all your thoughts. Come on, we're all brilliant managers, aren't we, when we're not actually having to make those decisions for real. Georgia have equalised against Norway, so 65 minutes gone. Georgia 1, Norway 1. Safe to say that's a result that would suit Scotland down to the ground?
Yeah, and I've got to say, watching the game just behind you, Gordon, on the big screen, Georgia in the second half have been excellent. They look a real decent team, and they're causing Norway all sorts of problems. Yeah, 1-1, we'd be happy with that.
It's so early, Mark. You have to obviously make sure you go and deal with both respectively. But if you know, if you had your choice this evening, would that be the ideal outcome?
Of course. I mean, especially with the Norwegian side losing at the weekend, and then if they get drop points here again, then of course, it's a perfect start for us, but we need to take care of our own business. I kept saying on Saturday that international football's changed a lot in the last decade. Teams like Georgia are no longer the walkovers that they once were.
Well, let's be honest, we've never found Georgia to be a walkover, as you well
exactly.
know.
Exactly, yeah, good point. But they've got some very, very good players on their side, so that's going to be a dangerous one for us when the time comes.
Yeah, because, you know, when news of Erling Haaland's withdrawal from the squad... there was a school of thought, this is typical, because he'll be available against Scotland, no doubt. But at the same time, people did say, well, maybe it gives Georgia a better chance of getting something against Norway, and that may well suit Scotland. I know it's so early, Gordon. It's too early to be obsessing over other results, but these groups aren't that long. You're looking for things to sort of start going in your favour early on, whether that's what you can control, but also what you can't.
Yeah, exactly. I think Mark quite rightly says it's early on. It started at weekend. We got the 3 points. We need to focus on tonight. It's got to be really difficult. I don't think Steve Clark will have Georgia on his mind just now. So he'll just need to wait.
That's good.
I had to
get it. Do you realise laughing at your own jokes is like widely regarded as absolute wrong in behaviour?
I'm celebrating, punching there, celebrating there for the people who can't see him.
I had to get that.
It's not even funny.
I know it wasn't, but
it's
I had
a good
to
song.
Get it.
It would have been better if you sung it.
I was going to, but I thought, no, I'll just ruin it. But come on, there'll be people going along to Hampden having a wee giggle going, that's made my night on my goal.
Wow. Let's hope Scotland's.
That makes your night, you're in trouble.
Let's hope Scotland's performance.
That's a goal. That's another goal.
That's a replay you're watching.
No, it's no.
Yes.
Tell me that's not a replay. Tell me I've no fallen into that trap. That's 2-1.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Mark.
That's not a replay. Oh, it is a replay.
I'm turning this guy's mic off. 0141 951 1025. John is on the line. John, Spain, are they the force they once were? Are you fearful of them? How do you sum up tonight?
No, I spoke to the producer there. I think we're in a right good chance tonight. We are getting a result. Spain are not the team they used to be. As I say, you would have to ask me any of the names that they used to be. You could read around them all half years ago, like Xavi, Iniesta, etc. But to me, I could tally that very many of them after. They're not household names as such. But I still think we should even listen to you near now, Gordon, about Georgia 1 each. I think maybe that Steve Clark may have in his mind there, if that ends up a draw, you could maybe have a wee free hit tonight, know what I mean, to have a go if more of a drop points sort of away from Georgia. But as Mark said, there are no mugs now at Georgia. But I think we've got a right good chance tonight, so I do. I think if they play the right team and the right positioning, man, I think we've got a right good chance.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark. Let's be state the obvious here. They clearly are not the force they once were, because they won the World Cup and they won, was it back-to-back Euros either side of the World Cup?
I think so.
Something along those lines. They were one of the, arguably, for people of my age, one of the greatest international sides in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You'd have to say that, and the way they played as well. So they're not that. If you go back to the World Cup, how are you supposed to gauge? They beat Costa Rica 7-0, and that day I was thinking, oh my goodness, this lot are, they're back, they're unbelievable. They of course then lost against Japan. You know, they got put out, was it on penalties against Morocco, drew with Germany. So yes, they don't have the household names that, that John mentions of the past, but some things never change. That day in the World Cup when they lost to Japan, they had 83% possession and lost the game. It. So those things don't change.
No, of course, and it won't change tonight. I mean, the team that they've got at the minute, of course, doesn't resemble the World Cup winning team or the Euros team. That was largely made up of mostly that Barcelona team, that exceptional Barcelona team with a few Real Madrid players in the mix. So it was a good mix. But listen, they've still got, you look, Carvajal, Laporte, obviously, Rodri, then you've got the boy Gavi. So unbelievable players in there as well. But
yeah,
and they'll stick to the same style, Gordon, as we've seen from previous Spanish time. That is the danger. We are going to have to spend a long, long time without the ball, and that's why Steve Clark mentioned he was working on defending, because getting your positioning right is going to be key.
Hold your thoughts, John. Andrew McLean has the team after all the predictions, all the pre-match talk. Who has got it right, Andrew McLean?
Yeah, well, Steve Clark has made three changes from the side that beat Cyprus at the weekend. Out go Ryan Jack, Stuart Armstrong, and of course Shea Adams, who's dropped out the squad altogether. In come Scott McTominay, Ryan Christie, and Lyndon Dyke. So it's going to be Angus Gunn starting in goal. The back three, Ryan Porteous, Grant Hanley, and Kieran Tierney. The wing backs, Aaron Hickey on the right, Andy Robertson on the left. Then in midfield, Scott McTominay, Callum McGregor. You've got John McGinn and Ryan Christie supporting Lyndon Dykes. The substitutes, Kelly, Clark, Patterson, Shankland, Higham, Gilmore, Cooper, Armstrong, Ferguson, Brown, Jack, and McLean. I've got the Spain team as well. It is Chelsea goalkeeper Kepa that starts for them. The back four, Pedro Porro, it's David Garcia, Inigo Martinez, and Jose Gaya. The two holding midfielders, Rodri of Manchester City, of course, and Mikel Merino. The three in behind the striker, Jeremy Pino, Dani Ceballos, and alongside them, Mikel Oyarzabal, and it is Hosolu who starts up front. So I think that is, well, that's most of the team has been changed from that win at the weekend for them. The substitutes, Sanchez, Raya, Nacho, Laporte, Morata, Ruiz, Gavi, Iglesias, Aspas, Williams, Carvajal, and Zubimendi.
There we have it. Who got the team right, or are you both one out?
One out.
Both of you, one out. So it's either way, look, that's not a hugely surprising team. Everybody, I think, thought, well, yeah, everyone thought Scott McTominay would come in, and he does. Most people thought Ryan Christie would come in, and he does. There is no change at the back. Lyndon Dykes kind of had to replace Shea Adams, who's dropped out the squad altogether. So you could say Ryan Jack's maybe been a bit hard done by to drop out. You could say that, you know, I mean, Stuart Armstrong played at the weekend, but again, I don't think there's not going to be a huge debate on that team, is there, at this point?
I don't think so. I think the players that have come in are more than capable. Some may be expected. I always thought that McTominay would play this game. That's even before he scored his couple of goals.
You said that.
I thought he's the perfect fit for something like this. I mentioned it before. The level he plays at, I know he doesn't play every week for Man United, but when he does play, he's playing at the highest level. He's got the right temperament for this sort of occasion. Very good in the ball, very comfortable. So we're going to need people like that in there. Him paired with McGregor, and I think McGinn just sitting a wee bit in front of them will be a good three for us. And like we said before, I think McGinn will then get promoted to play alongside Christie and behind Dykes when we're in possession. So pretty positive.
Just quite, I wonder if it's the same formation for the weekend, as in McGinn, instead of dropping him in as a three, he's going to play with McGinn and Christie where they played McGinn and Armstrong. And see if he does that. I don't think Scotland fans can complain, because that's positive. That's an attacking side.
John, there's two Johns on the line, but the one who we already spoke to, what do you make of that team whilst you were hanging on?
I think that's a great team. As Gordon says, it's like for like with Armstrong and Christie. I think that's a very positive team. I think they could do the damage there. I know McGinn's pushing on. But can I make a quick point, Gordon? I tried to go on the other night about this, about the state of the Hampden pitch the other day. See for in a couple of weeks, right, for the Rangers and Celtic semi-final, do I think it'd be more viable for Inverness and Falkirk? I know maybe it takes away the Hampden thing for them, but they're not going to fill Hampden, obviously, right? So I think it'd be more viable if they played at Easter Road and Tynecastle, because you don't know what state the park's going to be for the next day.
Yeah, why should they, though, John? I mean, why should they? I get you've got your Celtic hat on. We all know it's a big fixture and lots of eyes on it, but what, you just act, listen, two wee teams, don't worry about them, they've reached the cup, but we'll just move them, we'll get our day at Hampden and they can just play elsewhere, so the pitch is nice for us.
Well, obviously I wanted it to be good for us, the way we play, you know what I mean?
At least you're admitting it, John. I just don't see it standing up to much scrutiny. I mean, we had the Falkirk chief exec on last week, Mark Wilson.
He wasn't buying it.
If there was a genuine desire from those teams to do it, it would be different, but there's not. And the argument of, so we keep the pitch nice for Rangers and Celtic, that is not going to fly.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
I get that most of our listeners will probably agree with the sentiment, yeah, but come on.
No, you're right. It has to be driven by the teams, and if there was any appetite from the teams to do it, then fine, but it's not. This is purely, I think, selfish from fans. Wanting the pitch in pristine condition.
John's laughing, by the way, because he knows
it'll be cut up in the warm up anyway, so it doesn't matter if somebody's played in it the day before or not.
Let's bring in another John on the line. John, what are you thinking ahead of tonight?
I think this, a lot of Scotland fans are too confident and they're suffering from a bit of Argentina symptoms.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know if it goes quite that far, but I do wonder, Gordon, you know, we are used to sort of doing ourselves down, being negative and pessimistic, and generally speaking, we probably should work on that. We probably should have a bit more hope, but it's it does still feel that little bit uncomfortable. It's still Spain. It is still a very, very good and team. Are people being too confident? Norway have missed an absolute sitter against Georgia.
No,
sorry.
I don't blame Scotland fans for being confident. Look, nobody is kidding herself on. This is going to be a real test. There's no doubt. I think that John was talking about the state of Hampden pitch. That'll cut up. It'll not be a fast pitch where Spain, who are brilliant on the ball, can knock that ball about and fizz it about and move. It's not going to be like that. You've seen that at the weekend. I think it suited Cyprus more than Scotland, because I think we've got better players that can knock the ball about better than Cyprus, and we really didn't achieve that. I just think that there's a confidence grown within the squad as well, Gordon. I think that everyone knows their jobs. Everybody will need to do their jobs to 100% tonight if they're going to get anything. I've just got a feeling that, I'm not saying we're going to win the game, I think that we could, you know, on a night, could get a draw here tonight.
John, how do we strike this balance? Because you're obviously right, and to people of a certain generation, not mine, but the talk of Argentina, you know, it sends shivers down the spine, that level of optimism. But should we not start being a little bit more optimistic, and instead of fearing the worst? Is this group, I'm not saying they've achieved greatness, but have they not achieved enough over the last couple of years for us to at least put a bit of faith behind them?
Yeah, they have. The current squad's really done well, but the fact is, it's the build up and saying, if we get, see if we can beat the night 2-3-0, they'll be on tomorrow night, giving it the, oh, we should have done this, well, we're not good enough. We're a good side, but we need to be realistic in who we're up against. You know, they took apart Norway the other day. We only played Cyprus, no disrespect. So there's a big difference in opposition.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Norway had chances in that game, and similarly to what we did to Cyprus, I think Spain, it was 1-0 with about 84 minutes gone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Scored too late on. Incidentally, Andrew McLean, if he's still with us, are they taking us lightly? Because you look at some of the names they've left out and the number of changes they've made. Oh, he's not. He's not there.
He's
don't away. Know where he's gone.
He's away down for
same, oh, he's away downstairs for a heat.
Same question to you though, Mark Wilson. I mean, they've made yeah, numerous changes.
Well, I quite like that.
On the bench.
Of course, some of the names that I just read out 5 minutes ago, hardly any of them are playing. And Morata through the middle, of course, that we all know. That's a positive thing for us. But I mean, John's got a point. We can't over egg ourselves a bit. It's been a great win against Cyprus at the weekend, but when we go back to the Czech Republic and we go back to Croatia and the Euros, and I was one of the ones that sat there and hyped us up, we've got a real good squad,
sure,
and we fell flat on the big occasion. We can't let that happen tonight. I'll go back to the start of the show when we were saying these big games, we've got to get a victory sometime. There's got to be a Steve Clark result that he's remembered. It's a standout occasion. I would love it to be tonight because it gets off to a perfect start.
John, do you think they're taking Scotland lightly, having made so many changes?
Well, I hope so. I really do hope so, and I hope it comes back to bite them.
Yeah, that's interesting, Mark, because
otherwise,
I know they're in a slightly transitional period as well, and changes had been made after the World Cup. Maybe this goes back to John, and maybe we've got our inflated self, inflated sense of ourselves. Maybe elsewhere people don't sort of believe that. But to come to somewhere like Hampden, know that in the last few months Denmark have been dismantled there, Ukraine in one of the games were dismantled there.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they've made so many changes.
It's interesting. It could be either one or two things. They're taking as lightly, or the manager has full faith in his squad
he
that he
right
thinks
in
are
the reserves pick as a part.
Exactly.
Maybe he's playing the pitch. Maybe he's looked at the pitch and thought, do you know what? I might have to go a little bit quicker to the front men and
don't,
play.
I don't think they'd do that under any circumstances.
Well, Gordon, modern day football now, I think good coaches and staff take everything into consideration.
Oh, not doubt that, but I also think modern football now, the top teams, the top coaches don't change their game plan for anyone.
I'll be interesting tonight to see how
you, I mean, come on, you're a City legend. Did City rock up at somewhere difficult and decide to just pump the ball up the park?
Well, they could play different players to maybe play
instead of
playing the two or three passes, they could play the two and one pass. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying they're going to lump the ball quicker.
Does two and one not add up to three?
No, three
you're
passes
a shocker
instead of the two or the one pass.
You're having a shocker.
Instead of taking 1, 2, 3 touch and then playing it forward, they could take 1, 2 forward, 1 forward.
What is there he on about? In the politest way possible. Thank you to John on the line. 2 John 01419511025. You've heard the team. Is that the team you would have picked, or would you have done something different? Let us know right now.
1419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson, both here, both excited. An hour to go until kickoff between Scotland and Spain. The teams are out. It's three changes for Scotland. Scott McTominay, Lyndon Dykes, and Ryan Christie come in. Ryan Jack, Stuart Armstrong, and Shea Adams dropping out. Not overly surprising. I don't think there'll be huge drama attached to that selection, but you can please correct me if I'm wrong. That's what we're here for. And as for Spain, 8 changes from the team that beat Norway at the weekend. Only the goalkeeper and 2 others keep their place. So still plenty of talent, obviously. But 8 changes, which is quite remarkable, you have to say. Let's bring in Stevie, who's on the line. What are you thinking, Stevie, now you've sort of heard the teams?
And obviously, not me. Not the one I'm not happy about is Dykes playing, mate. Not me than Gunn. You know what I mean? So, I just think obviously Xander Clark should have started tonight. Not me, a mere big, prominent goalkeeper. Not me, again, playing at Hearts, he can mix it up, guys. Not me, so sometimes Hearts dominate the game and then he's called upon. Not me, with 10 minutes to go, his concentration level's there and he delivers. And then when Hearts play Celtic Rangers, then again, they're busy as usual. He's always kept on his toes. And I think with Spain, that would be the perfect blend. Gunn's untried. I was here on Saturday, boys, and he done nothing. There wasn't anything there that just impressed me.
Xander Clark's uncapped as well, though, isn't he? How's he, is he more tried than Angus Gunn? And once Angus Gunn got the nod at the weekend, and I know you're saying he was quiet, but he didn't do anything wrong. So, he was always playing tonight, was he not?
No, not really, mate, because at the end of the day, Kelly and Clark they've been picked in the squad, mate. I've been talking about it for the last 2 days. I've been picked for every squad, way John McLaughlin, way obviously Greg Gordon. And then they bring some guy who was playing with England, under 12s, 14s, and just brings him in. Now, two goalkeepers, obviously, coach keepers. So you sit and go, we must be in with a shout, boys. You know what I mean? And then he brings somebody in and he just plays him. You're sitting going, hold on a minute.
There's two things here, though. There's that's that sort of emotional, I don't know if it goes as far as moral argument, about Angus Gunn's allegiance and whatever, but you've certainly, like it or lump it, you've had to get over that, because firstly he was named in the squad, and secondly he played at the weekend, Gordon. So Steve, you might feel differently, but there was no doubt he was playing tonight, was there?
Yeah. I would have been surprised if he'd have picked MDLs. I think that what we've taken out of the weekend and tonight. The Guns, right at this moment, holds the number one jersey. And it's up to Kelly and Xander Clark to hope that something happens. Well, not for us, but, you know, if something happens and they get their opportunity again and claim the spot. But just now, Steve Clark has looked at the three goalkeepers and decided that, because three of them were uncapped, it's not like he's went with experience. Three of them are uncapped. He prefers Gunn. I think that, look, Stevie says he done nothing at the weekend. Yes, of course, that was because we dominated most of the game. And I hope that we have the same problem tonight, that he does nothing, but I don't think that'll be the case. So because he will get tested.
I suppose the problem with Stevie's theory, Mark, would be that, fine, you would then be putting Xander Clark, after all Stevie's worries about Angus Gunn being untested, you'd be putting Xander Clark in for his international debut against Spain.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Steve Clark, you know, made his decision at the weekend, and that's the way it's going to remain, like Daz says, until he does something wrong. Look, I was with Stevie. I had the argument last week that I thought Xander Clark would play. I think the two of them are terrific goalkeepers. We then were looking at, we were digging into save percentages, and there's very little between them. Angus Gunn just nudging it ahead of Xander Clark, so he's got one up in that respect. But it could have been any of them. But Steve Clark chose Gunn, and like Gunn says, it's his to throw away or to do something wrong. Talking about legacies, did I see a picture of Angus Gunn with a Scotland strip on when he was a young kid at the weekend? So, you know, if that's what's on people's minds, that, oh, he picked his at too late a stage in his career, then it's nonsense, really. We aren't good enough to turn our noses up at a player like Angus Gunn.
I don't think you'll be alone, Stevie, that lots of Scotland fans wanted to see Xander Clark, but I do wonder now if we should have seen this coming. I think Scotland played three friendlies last season, Poland, Austria, and certainly the Turkey one. In November, that was the perfect time to give Xander Clark or Liam Kelly a game, and Stevie Clark didn't do it. Does that suggest that he maybe doesn't feel they're up to being number one?
Well, he didn't plan on Craig Gordon breaking his leg. He did. I mean, so you've got to prepare for every eventuality. That we know, and every coach knows that. But when you sit and look at it, that we know Scotland are going to spend a lot of the time without the ball, I think. Yep. So they're not me know, and Dykes, let me know that obviously the big man came on, an impact player, obviously set up McTominay, but I would have put Christie up there, so I would have let me know. I see he's went with a 5-man midfield, obviously 4 at the back, compact and bring Spain in, let me know, deny them areas to play the ball that are going to hurt us. Leave them in areas, let me know, they've got the ball and they can't do any damage, that's fair enough. But you just think, not mean, we've got to play our strengths, set pieces, corners and things like that, not mean. And I know it's great in there before somebody comes on and tries to shoot me down. But you say to yourself, no, McGinda's all right for there. I would have played Patterson ahead of Hickey. So I would have, not mean, no, because you need more aggression in there. The wee boy, he was just getting shoved away the place by the separates on Saturday. He didn't get stuck in. No, any time somebody touched him, he fell down. He was looking for the referee to feel sorry for him. We don't play like that, nobody.
I think Aaron Hickey's shown he can mix it. You remember the viral clip of him bashing Cristiano Ronaldo out the way? Remember at the start of the Premier League season? The upfront thing is difficult, Gordon, because we said even at the weekend, when we've got all our options fit and available, it's probably still the area of the pitch where we're a bit blunt. Mm-hmm. We need more. You then go and take an English Premier League player, and let's be honest, our best striker in Shea Adams, out of that equation. If it was blunt before, I don't know what word you would use to describe it. We're encouraged, we're hopeful, we're positive, because Dykes came on and made a good impact. Thereafter, you're going to need Lauren Shankland of Hearts, who's just been called into the squad, to come on. Maybe you're going to need Jacob Brown of Stoke, who, despite having quite a few caps, we've seen literally nothing. It feels like every odd sub appearances made, we've just not had the chance to really see him. That is going to be a tough area of the pitch for us, surely.
Yeah, I think the decision was right tonight. You've got, like, say, Brown, you've got Shankland coming into the squad. I like Shankland, he's a good player. But I think Dykes was a stick on to start, especially when Adams goes back down the road to Southampton. You're right, Gordon, he came on at the weekend. He had a terrific cushion header for McTominay. He's different for us because if we're in trouble, and which we will be tonight, probably with Spain, we can play a longer ball up to him mm-hmm. and Christie and McGinn off him. He can obviously hold the ball up for us to get us up.
Got
the
to get that right, don't you? Because
you don't want to be a long ball
tonight. Is
there
tonight. Sometimes a tendency when Lyndon Dykes plays, although he can be effective, is there a tendency to just always boom it towards him? And then if for whatever reason, if the centre half does start winning some of the balls mm. or people aren't getting close to him, it just becomes. Straight back at you.
I think the players have got to take responsibility in the pitch tonight. There will be times when we can play that direct ball, and there's nothing up with the direct ball, because we've seen Dykes at times can give defences trouble with the runners of McGinn, McTominay, Christie. That can hurt defences, but you're quite right in what you're saying. We can't just use that ball all the time, because if you look in that Midland Park, we've got McGregor, one of the best mm-hmm. ball players going about. We've got McTominay, he'll take it. McGinn will take it. We've got good footballers in there, so we can mix it up tonight.
And Mark, just quickly, it might still be at paper talk stage, but in the reports this morning that Steve Clark's also having a look at Jason Steele, the Brighton keeper. Now Brighton are going well, to see if he, you know, is an option. So I'm not saying he's never going to play Xander Clark or Liam Kelly, but there have been ample opportunity, and if he's still looking at one more, might tell you he feels that for an international setup we need more.
I think you're right in that. Every one of these reports, no smoke without fire and all that I think Steve Clark will be casting the net far and wide to see who he can get, and rightly so, looking at the Premier League's best league in the world, most competitive league in the world. If we've got someone there that can play for us, then it would be a fool not to explore that avenue. So he's doing the right thing, but you're right, it doesn't make good reading for the other two in the squad.
Thank you to Stevie. It is that time of the night already. We're getting closer to kick off, but if you think that game's big.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on down, it's Beat the Pundit time. Let's put one of you up against Mark Wilson or Gordon Dalziel for a signed ball, which is great, but think of the bragging rights, the humiliation that you could dish out to one of these two if you beat the pundit tonight. You do need to call before 7 o'clock, so don't hang around. 0141 951 1025, and we'll try our very best to get you on next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. We're 42 minutes to be precise away from kickoff at Hampden, Scotland against Spain. Three changes to Stevie Clark's side. In come the likes of Lyndon Dykes, Ryan Christie and Scott McTominay, and eight changes in total for Spain. Let's hope they're taking us lightly and hope that it backfires. But anyway, we're building up to kickoff. So what do you make of the teams? How are you feeling? Are you confident? Are you hopeful? Are people getting ahead of themselves by being confident and hopeful? That's been the theme of the call so far. So if you want to add anything else, please do. If you want to change the subject, you can do that as well. It was an incident-packed game and ending to the game between Rangers and Celtic women at Broadwood last night. So if you've got any thoughts, 0141 951 1025, get your calls in. We'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's Beat the Pundit time. I think you two are banging trouble tonight.
How?
I've just looked to see the name of the contestant, and I feel a bit starstruck almost.
Is it famous?
He's one of the sort of unsung heroes of Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What?
It's the Crazy Pony. You know, the guy that sends all the teasers in. So we don't know his real name. It's like a stage name.
So he's come on as the Crazy Pony?
He's come on as Crazy. First name Crazy, surname Pony. To take you on. He's the guy that sends you all the trivia. Pony, how are you?
Alright, I thought Roger Hannah was on the night.
Oh, are these two below you? Are they beneath you?
I'm going to hang up, mate. I'm going to hang up.
Tony, the only word of advice I've got, you better not lose.
I know, I'm under pressure, mate.
These two are going to dig pressure. You out big time if you do. Right, heads, it will be Mark Wilson, and tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. You look terrified.
No, I'm trying to think
of the
accent.
Stepping into the ring with Mike Tyson.
Not at all.
He's from Kincardine.
Yeah.
What's your accent?
Yeah, I could tell that.
He's a Kincardine pony. You ready?
Yeah.
It's heads, it's Mark Wilson.
Oh,
right,
come on,
pony. Your face has gone red already.
Oh, the pony.
Remind me to talk to you about your charity game exclusion again at the weekend. I want to pick up on that. I want to round off the round off the topic. Right, Mark, right, I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. Mr. Pony, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that's fine, okay?
Right, okay.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds starting now. Who replaced Martin O'Neill as Celtic manager in 2005?
Gordon Sarkin.
How many league games have Rangers lost away from home this season?
One.
Who's the only Motherwell player in the Scotland squad?
Pass.
In what year did Scotland last play Spain in a competitive fixture?
2010.
The only SPFL side who play their home games in Dumfries?
Queen of South.
Which other SPFL side did Barry Robson join Celtic from?
Dundee.
Who's the most capped player in the Scotland squad?
Quick.
Nah, okay, time up. Mark Wilson, can you hear us?
Yeah, me.
You ready? Yeah,
hi.
Yeah.
They're easy.
Eddie, how'd Pony do?
I'm not telling you, ready?
Okay.
We had to dig out an 11th and 12th question for him.
Yeah, sure he did.
Ready?
Right, go.
Who replaced Martin O'Neill as Celtic manager in 2005?
Gordon Strachan.
How many league games have Rangers lost away from home this season?
One.
Who is the only Motherwell player in the Scotland squad?
Pass.
In what year did Scotland last play Spain in a competitive fixture?
2006.
Name the only SPFL side to play their home games in Dumfries.
Queen of South.
From which other SPFL side did Barry Robson join Celtic?
Dundee United.
Who's the most capped player in the Scotland squad?
It's got to be Cal McGregor.
No, it's not. Pony, how do you think it went?
I think he's beat me by one.
You think he's beat you by one? I must admit, Mark
Wilson.
What about
Liam Kelly?
Honestly,
Liam Kelly. No, it's even worse.
Can I just be honest about this?
The game came up.
Because
lines came up in the telly.
I knew the pony was obviously he's great with his trivia, but it's harder when you're on the spot. And I heard his answer. He was decent enough.
I balled it.
I thought Mark Wilson. It was there for you, and I don't know if you took it. I must admit,
no way.
I'm actually more disappointed in Mark's performance than anything.
Let's hear the answers. I might have.
Let's find it.
Gordon Strachan replaced Martin O'Neill. You both said it. You both got it.
Well done. Yeah,
that's easy.
You both said that Rangers have lost once away in the league, but it's two.
Two.
You both passed on the Motherwell player in the Scotland squad, and it's Liam Kelly.
That's shocking.
You both got Scotland Spain wrong. It was 2011. David Silva hat trick, and a proper come on, Pony, you're the teaser man. Scotland scorer that night.
What was the question again?
David Goodwillie.
What was the question again?
That's ominous.
That's a guy that sends the questions in for us.
Queen of the South are from Dumfries. You both got it.
This is a tiebreaker.
You both said Dundee United for Barry Robson, and you both got it.
Caps.
Go and do me a favour, Mark Wilson. Look at the name on your hoodie.
Oh, no, is it? No, Andy Robertson.
Andy Robertson has got 61 Scotland caps. Callum McGregor has just had his 50.
Did the pony have got that?
Pony
one?
Didn't get it yet.
Oh, no!
He panicked right at the end.
The panicking pony. Right, what are we on? Tiebreaker.
A tiebreaker.
Right.
Come on.
I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Mark to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt. Okay, Pony?
Yes.
Good man. Right. Here is your question. To the nearest year, what is the average age of the current Scotland squad? Write it down, Mark Wilson. Doesn't take much thinking. It's just a guess. The average age of the current Scotland squad. Okay, Pony, what are you going?
25.
Pony says 25.
25, Pony.
Mark Wilson says 28. The answer is 27. Mark Wilson's just nicked it.
Oh, okay, Pony boy.
28.
He was one out and the pony was two. lost by a nose.
You know what they say, son? The pony has fallen. Giddy up.
I like them to ignore me. I was Peter's gig.
Unlucky Pony. Keep the teasers coming though. Keep up the good work.
Right, okay, right. Thank you very much.
Good man, the pony. Yes. There we are. Stick that in the CV, surely.
Exactly. I just want to be proud of you.
Right, I'll tell you what. You've done the pony. Mm-hmm. Let's get curious creature on Thursday and we'll nail him as
he
well.
He doesn't pretend to have football knowledge. He just writes fancy riddles.
I know,
riddles.
But we'll nail him and that'll be the two of them out of the equation.
Bed. Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, I must admit,
I'm pleased with that because the pony knows his stuff.
The pony, he doesn't know his stuff. Chris, he Googles questions.
Producer Chris has just buzzed in my ear and said that all of Curious Creature's answers will rhyme, which might not work out. I'll give him credit for that. That's the funniest thing you've ever said to me, Chris. Yeah. Well done.
Nice, Chris.
Somebody must have gave him that.
01419511025.
Good
that
victory,
that is the number you need. I'm disappointed in you both there, actually.
I know.
Liam Kelly.
I know. Terrible.
No, the most disappointing thing was it shows the pressure does get to you. The team name, the lineup come up, and I'm trying to read it as quick as I can.
No, the one I'd have got,
really
impressed
you.
I'll tell you, because I read it today and I'd have really impressed you. The Spain one.
2011. You can't remember years or years.
I know, but I read it today for some reason. 2011. But the pony's done. He's away.
It's good of you to bounce back though after your big snub at the weekend. I must admit, having watched the footage come in from the Celtic Liverpool Legends game, this was a theme of our conversation last week. Remarkable that you got overlooked given some of the names that were in there. Guys that had never even played for Celtic before. Aye. All the service you gave that treatment table.
Dagger through the heart.
And you couldn't even get the call.
Dagger through the heart.
Did it feel bad to watch?
I was in a college yesterday speaking to some students, and that was the opening line for one of them. Anybody any questions? I'm not in here for that. This is my different job. Don't talk to me about that. That's what I wanted to say to him.
I must admit, I've got good news for you though.
What?
Oh, you're getting picked for the next one.
I'm going to cheer you right up.
Right. Is he getting picked for the next one?
Don't be silly. That's not my decision to make. I got dispatched to the Rangers Legends game to work on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the best news for you ever here.
Sass is asking for that.
Finally, after all these years, and I hope he's not listening, I don't want to be too unfair and offend him, but after all these years, you'd catch Daniel Kuzan now. I can tell you that for sure. Oh, you'd catch him now, alright.
Has he overindulged a bit? Has he in his retirement?
Look, he's probably a good bit older than you, right? So,
right, that doesn't matter. Age is nothing.
Do you want to take a walk round this side of the desk and have a look at this guy?
No. You're just listen.
Hold on, he's giving me a...
He's 46.
Right, he's not that far ahead of me.
A decade older than you.
But
he destroyed you, didn't he? That's how you never get picked by legends.
No.
Papach, on the other hand, was looking slim. He'd do you.
But Kuzan,
I fancy you to catch him now.
I would say, have you got a picture of him there?
Not a current one.
No, but I'll take great pleasure in that. The amount of stick I've had to take over.
I won't let you go that far. I'm not going to allow you to look at a picture and mock the man looking as you do currently, as Gordon DL points out. But
he's 3 stone lighter than Garden Bridge, this guy over here.
Hold on, why am I getting it then? Again, he started this as a compliment to me.
But I feel like raining in a bit.
I've not even seen Kuzan, but I bet him because I've seen this guy.
What do you think you're? The glorified PE teacher. I'm standing here.
I'm a wee bit of a bodybuilder type guy.
A bodybuilder.
Well, you can see the biceps.
I honestly think
a belly builder.
It's taking you a while, right? But I do think you would catch him now.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased at that because, you know, I have sleepless nights sometimes thinking I'm brushing me aside.
You know, it's funny, I just typed his name into Twitter to see what pictures could come up from the weekend.
And your name come up.
And then I found a tweet from the weekend that just says, Daniel Kuzan is on and Mark Wilson's hiding in a cupboard somewhere.
Oh, the public never let you forget, do they?
Superb. Anyway, right, 01419511025. Let's hear from Steve Clark on the Challenge of Spain.
You've always got to be well balanced behind your attacks. You don't want to overcommit. And against a team like Spain, you know that if you overcommit, you run the risk of being picked off. So we have to be good and patient without the ball. But we also have to be very, very positive when we've got the ball. We have to be ready to be out of possession probably a little bit more than we were at the weekend, where we dominated possession. It might be a little bit different in this game, but it's important to stay patient and capitalise on the right moments. We like to think that here at Hampden we can cause Spain some problems.
Let's bring in Stuart, who's in Rutherglen. Can we cause Spain problems, Stuart?
I'd like to think so, especially in that pitch, Gordon. First of all, hi panel, Gordon and Mark.
Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Stuart.
Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. But to be honest, looking at the that's not, this isn't my point, but looking at the park, it seems more suited to rugby rather than football. But the point I was going to make was, I'm happy that Ryan Jack's not playing. Because against Cyprus, I was hoping he was going to get taken off, especially the way the pitch was cutting up. We've got a big, well, I'm a Rangers fan, so we've got a bigger game on the 30th, I think it is, the semi-final.
All right, I thought Stuart was on, you know, to say I'm glad Ryan Jack's out. I think it's the right tactical move, but it's, this is more of just from a club selfish. Perspective. Which, by the way, I obviously get, but let's not miss the sort of reality here. Ryan Jack won't be happy he's been left out, and that's the way that, I know it's hard when you've got club allegiance on your mind all the time, as many of us do here, but like I said, Ryan Jack will be gutted to have been left out. He'd have loved to go and test himself against Spain, try and be part of a famous result, and he may well still do off the bench. But that's where you see the two differences, isn't it, between that sort of why not wrap him in cotton wool versus the reality if you're a player involved.
I totally agree. I think Rangers fans will be delighted that he's not playing and doesn't run that risk, but as you says, he could come on. But for a personal point of view, you're right, Ryan Jack wants to play against Spain. Everybody in that squad wants to play against Spain, and if you're not and you're on the bench, you want to play a part. And you know, when your career's over, you can talk about the games, like Mark constantly talks about his games. You can talk about the games and the players that you've played against throughout your career and whatever. And there's none really bigger than Spain. And this is a massive night for Scotland. So, of course, Ryan Jack would want to be involved in that. But Steve Clarke just feels that this is a team tonight that can, you know, obviously go and get a result.
See, if I was a Rangers fan, I'd be the opposite. I'd want Ryan Jack to play. He's missed some football through injuries. You want him to go into the game. If you're thinking ahead to the Celtic game, you want him to go into the game in peak condition. You get in peak condition by playing against top opposition and playing as many games as possible into that. Now, I get if it's a long season, Ryan Jack's played 50 odd games and you're thinking, well, he's running on empty a bit. At the minute, you're wanting him to play against top opposition and go into that game peak sharpness.
Yeah, having, you know, you go back to Rangers and think, well, but I just mixed it against Spain. I was handling myself against Spain. Bring on Dundee United and everyone else. That, you've got to be able to look at it that way, don't you?
100%. There's no doubt that as a player, and especially Ryan Jack, I think Ryan Jack's having a terrific season. I think he's a big, big player for Rangers. I know they're talk about his contract. I'd think it's a no-brainer. I'd be tying him down. I think he's got lots to offer.
I think Michael Beale agrees for what it's worth,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got bags to offer. I think him and Rask in the middle of the park are excellent together going forward. I think that's a good double act for Beale. But in the Scotland scene, I think he come off at the weekend, he will feel a bit disappointed not starting tonight. But it's all about a squad game, and Steve Clarke's analysed how Spain are going to play, how he wants his Scotland team to play, and he's picked the 11 he feels that are best equipped for that tonight to start with.
In the absence of any standout attacking options, Mark, I don't mean any disrespect whatsoever to Lauren Shankland or Jacob Brown, and we know that we just don't have wingers, we just don't have any. You know, James Forrest's international career's taken a bit of a lull, as is his club career. There's no Ryan Fraser, so there's not loads in terms of what you would consider match winners on the bench. So might it actually be that attacking changes for us tonight, should we need them, look like Nathan Patterson replacing Aaron Hickey, or look like Ryan Jack replacing someone, and or, you know, Scott McTominay moving slightly further forward? It might need to be something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, not that glamorous on the eye when some of these names may come on, but that may just signal a change of shape. We saw Patterson coming on at weekend. I thought he'd done fine for his limited involvement. Gives you something different from Hickey. But Ryan Jack may just come on and play an important part at a crucial time in the game. You're right, attacking wise, it is a worry. Lyndon Dykes, of course, we chatted about his illness that he's had previously, and when he came on, he's had limited minutes recently, so we might have to call on others. It's a position of the pitch that's been a problem for us for too many years now, that it could be crucial. But it's going to be a squad game tonight. If you're wanting to beat one of the best teams in the world, then let's be honest, they're 10th, sitting 10th in the FIFA rankings, then you're going to need your full quota of players.
Thank you, Stuart. 01419511025. I actually got some backing for you on Twitter, which is remarkable.
Ryan Keeney
said he went to the game in Liverpool, charity game or not. Lee Naylor turned in one of the worst performances I've ever seen. Kept launching the ball out the park. Mark Wilson struggling if he's not getting the ball.
Would have kept it simple, you know, keep it short. Nails loves that World Cup.
Got it short out of the
and
pitch.
John Witherspoon is a Rangers fan, and he is even backing you to have gone to have walked past Daniel Kuzan backwards, he says.
Yes, John, I'll take that but as a backhanded compliment.
Says it was a great day. Anyway, get you a full time teaser, and we're getting even closer to kick off next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Will we give the teaser a miss tonight? Because we're going to need to check in on the game and stuff like that, and I don't want to be just running through your rubbish answers as the game
and you don't
kicked off. So
well Crazy Pony, he's in the stables
we'll bring it back tomorrow. Now obviously Scotland is the big show in town tonight. We've been building up to that. However, there are other stories that definitely require us to fit them in before the end. Certainly Mark Wilson, and a very dramatic, if that word even begins to cover it, end to a game between Rangers and Celtic Women last night. It was 1-0 going into the 99th minute. Non-eventful. Celtic grab a 99th minute equaliser, but it's really after the game where it all kicks off, and now there's a police investigation. The Scottish FA will be looking at it, I'm sure Rangers internally. And this is after Craig McPherson, who is the Rangers assistant, appeared to him a headbutt at Fran Alonso, the Celtic head coach. Now I know the way these things work, everybody's seen the video. Would you guess you need to tread slightly carefully, because it, you know, could be a sort of criminal matter. It's not yet to that extent, but police are sort of certainly aware of it and are going to investigate. So but in general terms, how would you sum up your feelings on what you saw?
Well, you said dramatic. It was appalling to see, because there really is no excuse for the sort of things that we've witnessed. And I get what you're saying, Gordon. You need to be careful, because investigation going on, and we kind of say certain things on air at the minute. But I mean, it was so unbelievable to see how, what could have sparked Craig McPherson to firstly think he could do that to another member of staff, and then get away with it? Or why, what prompted such stupidity for his part?
It wouldn't matter, would it, what prompted
certainly did not. But what I mean is, sometimes you see incidents like this take place in a football pitch where there is a coming together and there's a disagreement and players will clash heads or touch heads, and sometimes it can go a wee bit too far. This seemed like a totally unprovoked incident where Fran Alonso's walking away and Craig McPherson obviously takes aim at him and comes from behind him, which is, you know, inexplicable. So it's going to be interesting to watch this one, because certain standards have to be upheld, and I think a statement I read today, it falls well below standards, quite worrying. So interesting, but
yeah. Scott's on the line wanting to talk about that very thing. What do you make of it, Scott?
I was happened to be watching the game last night. I happened to see, obviously, Sky played it back. Basically, I don't know why there's been no apology for Rangers FC, the management, the board, or anybody. There's no hearsay in this, guys. This is no something that we've seen, nobody's seen. This was put up in front of thousands of people across Britain. Also in front of, I don't know what the crowd was last night, because it's hard to tell.
You were 3,000 ballpark, that's very vague, but around about that.
Well, I would have said that at least 60% of them were going to be kids last night, going by what you could see in the background.
Yeah, they were.
They've seen this. They've seen this. That's nothing short of scandalous. I've run football teams over the years down in amateur leagues. We all know what the amateur leagues can be. Let's just say a bit roughy-tofty. But not one time have I ever seen anything like that with coaching staff or off the park. Yeah, the odd raid voiced, okay, the odd shouting and bawling, I was probably guilty of myself, but I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And I just think my problem with it is, this was clearly visible. Why has there nothing been done at all by Rangers? This is not a hearsay, as I said. This is in the open, videoed. It's conclusive. He's even done it to me. He's been a coward because he headbutted him in the back of the head. That's cowardly.
Yeah, I think, like I said at the start, I think you... I understand every part of where you're coming from, but we're 22 hours on. If that Rangers may well make a statement tonight, tomorrow, the next day. So the fact we've not had one in the first 22 hours, I just don't know the answer to that. I'm assuming there is an internal investigation going on. You would like to think so, yeah. And therefore after that, and again, what do the Scottish FA do? What do Police Scotland do? What do Rangers do? 22 hours on. I get why kind of it disappoints Scott, but I'm not overly surprised that 22 hours on we've not heard yet,
yeah.
Gordon. But the crux of Scott's point is surely something that any fair-minded person would agree with. There were so many kids there last night. It was the first ever SWPL league game to be broadcast on Sky Sports. It was supposed to be about showcasing that and trying to grow it. And like, there's a really cynical side that says this probably got more coverage than if things had just, you know, gone to plan and played out in a friendly manner. But that's not the point. Obviously the image that's getting
That's the sad thing about it for me, Gordon. We were promoting the women's game in Scotland last night with two of our biggest clubs, as you say, crowded 3,000 there, kids going along probably for the first time to watch an exciting game. We should be talking about the football, Celtic getting that late equaliser, the excitement of the game, but we're talking about an incident now. I'm not going to sit here and defend Craig McPherson at all, because well, everybody in the game knows Craig, knows he's a lovely guy, but it's undefendable, and I've got to say that it's disgusting behaviour. It's not behaviour we want in any game at all. I think Scott's right in highlighting the fact that the younger generations along there, that's not an example. When you are involved with any big clubs or any clubs at all, you set the example. And he certainly let himself down and everybody at Rangers. I think Rangers will certainly make a statement with this.
Yeah, I mean, again, Mark, on one hand, it doesn't matter what the game is or whether it's men's football, women's football, youth football. It doesn't matter, sort of, in the big picture. But then to some people it does, so I get what Scott's coming from. It's particularly sad because it's a family environment. But then again, when you say things like that, that maybe suggests that, oh well, it's fine then if there aren't kids there. That's obviously not the message that we're trying to put across. No. But there is something particularly sad about that, the way that it ended, and the fact that, you know, it was picked up.
Let's be honest, the women's game, it's getting coverage that it deserves now. Sky picking it up. The crowds are getting bigger. They're trying to attract different people to come along and see. And last night was a perfect example of that. The hard work that went in to getting those crowds along. Now we get them there, and you want to display the best possible behaviour and the best ability on the pitch. That Daz is right. We come away saying, wow, what a dramatic game. A 99th minute equaliser, great. By the way, I'll go back and watch that again, and I'll take my kids along with me again. Now if you're seeing scenes like you seen Craig McPherson last night, then going and headbutting the Celtic manager in the back of the head, then you're thinking twice about it. It's not a great example to set at all. And that's me being kind.
I get the frustration of people who want this to then become sort of you know, wall to wall criticism, condemnation. And that's fine. You can do that. You can criticise and you can condemn. But it's also important for us just to stick to the facts, to a point. And again, I appreciate where you're all coming from at home, and that's annoying. But for instance, Police Scotland, there's a statement, inquiries to establish any criminality are at an early stage. I mean, that's it, right? So not much more we can add on that. Scottish FA's compliance officer is going to look at the incident. There was a statement, was it from Celtic as well, talking about it being, we understand the matter is now being investigated. It will be up to all relevant authorities to take any appropriate action. So whilst everybody's seen it and everybody's got their own thoughts on it, pretty tough. Well, not only tough, just daft of us to sort of prejudge any investigation. Whether that, we can't suggest what Rangers should do or what the Scottish FA will do, but you'd assume they'll do something.
It's frustrating for people when they hear the word investigation and you're thinking it's not going to take Sherlock Holmes to solve this one, is it?
It's 22 hours on, isn't it? And I totally get it. I do. Fran Alonso, Mark, I was there. I was working for Sky at the time, and it was all happening very quickly, and a lot going on. He gave the interview, in case people haven't seen it, saying someone pushed him from behind. I never talked to him the whole game. I was called a little rat, but I don't know why. At the time, Malky Thompson said he hadn't seen it. Incidentally, I hadn't seen it at that point either, when I was, you know, asking Malky Thompson about it. And it just you can understand why the full incident's just soured everything. It was such a dramatic end to the game and a big result for the title race. And by the way, Glasgow City, they'll be lost in all this. They'll have been loving it. They'll have been rubbing their hands together at seeing both of their nearest rivals hold each other to a point apiece. And that's the bit that we got to say,
you mentioned Fran Alonso there. Got to give credit to Fran Alonso for the way he conducted himself after it. You know, and we've all seen the videos. He's on there congratulating both sets of players on what was a magnificent game. And then even when the incident happened, to then, you know, keep his cool to a certain extent, not to react in the way some may have reacted, and then to go live on TV and sort of laughingly try and shrug it off. I think that takes a lot for someone to do that, because emotions must have been high in him at that time then to suffer something like that. But to shrug it off and kind of say, well, I don't know why, and we'll kind of move on, is credit to him how he handled himself.
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding last night, I don't think Fran Alonso personally was intending on escalating it and taking it further from his personal point of view. And I should stress that may obviously have changed by now, and it also is not only up to him. You know, like I said, regardless of what Fran Alonso thinks, Police Scotland can carry out their investigation, the Scottish FA can carry out theirs, and Rangers, you'd like to think, are doing their internal work as well. So worth repeating slightly, I get Scott's frustrations, but there's going to be an element of watch this space on this one.
Oh, 100%. This is not finished by a long, long way. I know that some fans out there are frustrated that there's not been a response, and maybe they're looking at Craig coming out for an apology as well. I'm sure all that will happen. I agree with Mark. I watched the incident. I thought Fran Alonso handled it very well, because you could get caught up in that, but tempers could have really flared up there, and it could have turned into real nasty scenes. It's not acceptable. It doesn't matter what football, what level, that's not acceptable. And especially with the clubs the size that you're dealing with, a Rangers club, you are leading by example in these clubs. There's a lot of eyes on you. You've got to behave responsibly. And unfortunately, the Rangers coach didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, the SWPL statement as well. This incident's been investigated by Police Scotland and the Scottish FA. The SWPL won't make any further comment at this time while investigations are ongoing, for the what feels like the 10th time. I completely get why, as a fan, that's like sort of frustrating, Mark, and you want your justice, if you call it that. Either way, you want it now and you want it immediately. We're not a day on yet, no. And we're probably just going to have to take stock. Yeah, and yeah, I know that's tough. Social media is awash with lots of opinions, and rightly so. But that is the reality of it.
Yeah, of course. And I think this will be dealt with swiftly. You keep mentioning it, we're pretty short time away from the actual incident. So I think over the next few days, you'll see some action on this, whether that be from the club or the police or whoever else is involved in this. There will be action taken, and I don't think it'll linger on. I don't think it's one of these, it'll be months down the line. I think because it's so prominent, so visible for everyone.
That's the other interesting, I don't know if that's the right word, but we are, you know, if there are any disciplinary, you know, kind of fast track issues in the men's game or whatever, we're used to the way that works and the sort of time frame and how it comes out and when it comes out. I don't think we've seen stuff like this really in the men's game either, but I can't think of any high profile disciplinary issues that have, you know, made such waves from the women's game. So I'm assuming it's a similar disciplinary procedure in terms of time frame or whatever, but actually don't have much to compare it to.
Well, you would think if there hasn't been much, and I can't remember any either, you think they would want to make an example of this and show that they're right in the ball with us and deal with it as swiftly as possible.
Okay, we are fast approaching kickoff at Hampden. The teams are in the tunnel. We'll go back to the National Stadium next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
back to the National Stadium and just listen to the atmosphere here ahead of Scotland taking on Spain in this Euro 2024 qualifier. I think there's always different ways of showing just how big a game is. One of those is that this press gantry is absolutely packed at the moment. The main Spanish television broadcaster just sitting alongside me, former Juventus Bilbao striker Fernando Llorente is there, former Barcelona and Chelsea fullback Albert Ferrer is there as well, and there is just a feeling that this is an absolutely massive game. And as well, down in the media room, the full time whistle went between Georgia and Norway, and there was a real air of optimism about the place. It's obviously still really early in this campaign, but the result, that 1-0 draw, just the potential of what that result could mean going forward, it could give the crowd and the players a lift tonight ahead of this game. You look at the Spain team as well, 8 changes for them from the weekend. You'd say it is a weaker side than the one that beat Norway. That will give people some hope, although I was watching them in the warm-up, the speed of their possession drills, their rondos, it was still absolutely frightening. So Scotland are certainly in for a big test here tonight. I'll run you through the team news. Steve Clarke has made 3 changes from the side that beat Cyprus at the weekend. Out go Ryan Jack, Stuart Armstrong and the injured Shea Adams. In comes Scott McTominay, Ryan Christie and Lyndon Dyke. So it's going to be Angus Gunn continuing in goal. The back three, Ryan Porteous, Grant Hanley and Kieran Tierney. It's Aaron Hickey at right wing back, Andy Robertson at left wing back, Scott McTominay, Callum McGregor, the holding midfielders John McGinn and Ryan Christie will try and support Lyndon Dykes as much as they can. The substitutes, Kelly, Clark, Patterson, Shankland, Higham, Gilmore, Cooper, Armstrong, Ferguson, Brown, Jack and McLean. For Spain, it is Chelsea goalkeeper Kepa Arrizabalaga that's in goal for them. The back four, Pedro Porro, David Garcia, Inigo Martinez and Jose Gaya. It is then the two holding midfielders, Rodri and Mikel Merino. In behind the striker, Jeremy Pino, Dani Ceballos and Mikel Oyarzabal. And it is Hosolu up front for them. The substitutes, Sanchez, Raya, Nacho, Laporte, Morata, Ruiz, Gavi, Iglesias, Aspas, Williams, Carvajal and Zubamendi. Listen to the noise at Hampden. This crowd know they are in for a huge game tonight. I can't wait for it. 50,000 in here can't wait for it. And we are just underway at Hampden.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Buy now, pay nothing till 2024.
I was doing all right today and now I'm very jealous. Very, very jealous to be stuck in here looking at you two whilst 50,000 plus Andrew McLean at Hampden to witness what we hope will be a night that lives long in the memory for all the right reasons, Mark Wilson. It's going to be an incredible test, 8 changes or not. These are possession masters and we are going to be bang up against it. But hopefully we can get the job done.
Yeah, exactly that. It's going to be a tough night. It's going to be a long night and maybe frustrating for some of the fans along at Hampden, because we're going to have to get used to not seeing a lot of the ball with our side. But I believe if we can hang in there and quieten Spain down for the opening stages, then we have got the firepower and the height on our side to trouble them at set pieces and get a goal that way. I think we could sneak a draw tonight. I think it could be 1-1.
Yeah, I'm going for a positive draw. What I do like, I've noticed right away in the caption, it's not McGinn dropping in as a three. It's the same formation, 3-4-2-1, with McGinn and Christie playing either side, just behind Dykes.
Great early chance, Lyndon Dykes, left-footed volley, just blocked away, and as Andy Robertson tries to probe. And I think, Gordon, I'm not going to base everything on one ball up the pitch, but it does remind you though that these top teams can do a bit of everything, because the first one goes high to Dykes for him to try and flick it on and the centre back beats him to it. You know, there's this sort of hope sometimes that we can do that and, you know, win every one of them. Hopefully he wins more often than he doesn't, but it just is it's a reminder that these top teams have got a bit of everything.
Of course they have. That's why they're world class players, Gordon. But I think that if we've got Dykes up top, we've got to use them at times. He's got to be what we call an option. We can't just look for a long ball all the time, because these guys are world-class defenders. They'll know when to drop off. They'll know when to go and win the headers. We've got players in the middle of the park that are comfortable on the ball, so we've got the options there, which is good.
Bit of a nervy pass there from Ryan Porteous right out the pitch, because I was going to say, actually, we had, you know, up until that point, I don't know, it's a couple of minutes in, but happy enough to keep it at the back and take our time and knock it around. Ryan Porteous just over-egged one out towards Aaron Hickey and it went out of play for a throw-in. So 2.5 gone And actually Spain sitting off Scotland a bit, Mark. A mid-block, is that what you call this?
I think so. I think when you compare it to the game against Cyprus, where they just had everybody behind the ball, you could see their four Spanish players sort of on the front foot, ready to press. And I think that could be good for us. If we find that pass through to McTominay or McGregor that Daz was talking about, comfortable on the ball and get turned, then gaps open up. We need to then exploit that when we go forward and be better in the final third than we were at the weekend. But yeah, just talking about Portis here. Well, I mean, you think of the 6 months or seven months that Ryan Portis has had. What a change in that boy's career. You know, he's got the head down, he's screwed the nut, he's been rewarded by international caps, and now he's up against Spain in a Euro qualifier. So it may just have to pinch himself sometimes. But he passed one out the pitch here. You just have to say
it's early doors, and I know you obviously had a go at me, right? But I've looked at Spain, only 3-4 minutes on the clock. Early doors, they're getting the ball forward quickly. Now, the great Spain team with the great players in the middle of the park would pass you off the park. They look like they've looked at this and thought, we've got to go, you know, forward quickly. We'll be patient when we have to be. I know that you're looking at that ball again, Gordon. That's got to be frustrating. We can't keep doing that because we'll play right into Spain's hands. If we keep thinking we're going to lump up to Dykes and McGinn and Christie's got to win the second balls, won't happen.
I think the centre half's now won both, Mark. There was one that they both missed, so I don't think that counts. Look, I'm not saying it's a hugely important stat that you have to count. I won't do it all night, but just, you know, sometimes you get an indicator because it feels good at the start of a game when the ball goes up to Lyndon Dykes and you know he's got the jump on the man that he's up against. But that's a couple that have been well defended.
Well, you've got to recognise it in game. You know, in game management, we're always going on about that and how experienced players can see that right away. Now, if we've done it a couple of times, then even though the manager sometimes will probably say, get it up to Lyndon Dykes early on, you can clearly see that the Spanish are well capable of handling themselves at the back. So I'd like to see us use our talent in the middle of the pitch. You know, we've got real good players in there, really comfortable. You know, play through them.
Yeah, that's really well done from Scotland. That's a really good period. Won it back well, kept it under pressure from five different Spain midfielders and work it all the way out to the other side now, out to Andy Robertson. So that's exactly what Scotland are looking for, just in terms of confidence. Need to now try and do something up the pitch in the opposition half. And again, nice, just coming back into McGregor. He goes,
I think people underestimate our team. I think we've got players
in a footballing capacity.
I think we've got players that can do that. You know, McGregor comfortable on the ball, McTominay comfortable, McGinn can take it in. You know, we've got good players that can pass it. Tierney, Rob, we've got decent players. We just need to be patient.
Yeah. I like this. See, going from side to side, from Robertson back to Tierney, out the other side to to Hickey and back. Because what you're doing is you're moving that Spanish midfield. Now all you're waiting for is one of them just to say, oh, well, it's going to go backwards inside, and bang, we're through with a McGregor pass or a McTominay into McGinn. That's what we're waiting for.
Yeah, nice clipped ball down the line a moment or two ago from Tierney to Robertson, and Robertson just tried to take that first touch and take it beyond the defender, which just didn't quite come off. But it was a nice idea, and Scotland do still have it. 6 on the clock, and I think you can see, Mark, the pitch is going to be just the same really as it was. I mean, if this is at 6 minutes in, it doesn't look brilliant right now. It's going to get worse. So that might suit Scotland. It might, you know, stop Spain playing there. Oh, and there's a slip from Spain, and it's cut back. Scott McTominay, and Scotland lead against Spain at Hampden. 6.5 minutes, and it's that man again. He's a goal machine for Scotland. Scott McTominay with the left foot this time. It sneaks under the Spain goalkeeper, and Hampden is rocking, Gordon Dalziel.
Well, I said at 6 o'clock tonight, it's all about confidence. What a start. We look good, early doors, we're passing the ball about. Mark, you quite rightly said it. We look like the Spanish side that everybody talks about. We get a bit of luck, we do, the defender slips here, Robertson pounces on it. But I've got to say something, what a pick out that is for the captain.
Brilliant.
What a pick out that is from Robertson. And to be fair, McTominay obliges. Left foot gives a goalkeeper no chance.
You're not complaining about the Hampden pitch anymore, Mark Wilson.
Oh, of course not. I mean, slippery underfoot. We were all complaining at people slipping, but there you go. Spanish right back. But Daz is right. I didn't even see the pass from Andy Robertson. I'm looking at Dykes, who's in the middle, and I'm thinking, just play it across. But McTominay arriving late in the box, gets it in target. That's all you need to do, that, and it takes a nick.
That is the importance, Gordon. I know it sounds a bit simple, but it's left footed. It's not his favoured foot. It's not a brilliant connection, but he's taking his chance. It takes a nick off the defender. Wrong foot's the goalkeeper, and Scotland leads Spain by a goal to nil. Long may it last.
You could not have dreamt of all those 50,000 and everybody watching TV going along there tonight thinking, you know, got to be a good start, settle into the game, 1-0 after 7-8 minutes. Absolutely brilliant. Confidence.
What's he got? 3 goals in about 15 minutes?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's not a bad contribution.
Listen, he's a big game player. That's what he's been brought in for. You're talking about energy tonight.
Well, he's not a known goal scorer, though,
no,
it has
but,
to be said.
But I think he's been given that, you know, freedom to go and support in the box. I've got to get back to it. I'm totally with Mark here. I was watching it and I'm thinking, who's he going to pick out? Dykes. I did not see that pass from Robertson. World class. Brilliant.
Hope we've not angered them, Mark Wilson. That would be my only concern. Yeah, sometimes that's just years have been scarred by this stuff.
Yeah, sometimes these teams, you know, just waking up need something to give them a jolt. I hope it's not that, but no, even there where they come in attack, I think we're looking pretty solid. Let's hope that it keeps going in this vein for the rest of the game.
Look, I think a lot of people were getting kidded. Oh, Spain will beat us 4-5 now. The game's different now. We're different. We've got a better outfit. We've got better players.
Oh, and that's
confidence.
Brilliant from John McGinn. So much strength. Really well done. Just shrugs his marker to the floor, to the ground. And Scotland come away. This is really good stuff, this from Scotland. That's surely a foul, but we get the advantage, I think, with Ryan Christie and Aaron Hickey. Tell me he's not offside. Oh, yes. You've got to have
a I don't know why Christie plays that past him. He's clearly offside. He knows he's offside.
The only compliment I can give, Mark, we're Spain in blue.
We're winning this tournament.
We're passing it about. We're like winning nobody's the Euros. Business.
So far, so good. And I'm sorry we need to leave you, but the good thing is, no matter what happens, and we are on course for one of the famous nights at Hampden, but there's a long way to go. It's only 10 minutes gone. Scotland 1, Spain 0, thanks to that Scott McTominay goal early on. And whatever happens, whether it's memorable for all the right reasons, whether it takes a downward turn from here, we certainly hope it's the former. We look back on it all tomorrow. It could be a show for the ages. So make sure you join us. 01419511025 at 6 o'clock. Former Scotland international Simon Donnelly alongside Roger Hannah. And in the meantime, Callum Gallagher is up next.